heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
You know, we must remember the United States of America is, and I say this with a bit of a caveat, because we're all sort of a little less trusting these days. Let me put that out there first. I mean, I get that, people. I can't say that, you know, I mean, call it whatever you want. We all become a little more cynical in our days here. And we lose that faith sometimes. But listen, under normal context here, I think you would agree with me when I would say the United States should be, is supposed to be, we'd like it to be, a beacon of freedom around the world. It's hard to say that now, don't you think? It's almost hard to say that. Things are so screwed up here, and so much is happening so quickly. It's almost tough to let that roll off the tongue. You know, I mean, a couple years back, I said, oh yeah, we're the light of liberty. We're the beacon of freedom around the globe. We're the rule of law. We're the, you know, the world superpower, right? The country that does good all over the world. Yeah, that's this place. That's this United States. That's what we'd normally say. I mean, can you say that with a clear face right now? It's a good question, isn't it? America's elections, certainly here at home, we have to remember, have an impact that is felt around the globe. In fact, it impacts billions and billions of people. There's no doubt about it. Now, we can sit in our silos and be selfish and say it really doesn't matter, but that's all part of the weight and the pomp and pageantry that come with being the world superpower and the responsibilities that come with that as well. Now, that impact is a little different for both our allies and our enemies, but it has an impact just the same on both. And there are different outcomes that come from those two groups, but rest assured this, I'm absolutely certain of this. They are all watching all the happenings right down to the very last detail on what is happening in America right now. I want to talk to you today about America's allies, enemies, and this election fiasco. But what the world view is on that, what the global perspective is, and what are people saying around the globe, and how do they perceive what's happening in America right now? What do they take out of all of this, you see? And potentially maybe there's some wisdom there for us to grab onto, and something more, we can make something more concrete out of that. So we've got a couple of special guests today on the program, and I want to start here with Eben Tranholm. She's an expert on the crossroads of politics and Christianity. She's out of Denmark, a journalist, columnist. Eben, it's been quite a while since we have spoken. I thought of you in past days and weeks, and is several people that come to my mind when I think about global politics and American politics and what people, what that perception is around the globe. Let me start and ask you, how do you see the division of the American people right now, and how's that being perceived around the world?
Well, first of all, thank you for bringing me on the show again. I always love to be on your show, Malcolm. It's always a pleasure. And I'm happy that you asked me this question because, of course, here from Europe, we look to America and what's happening right now. And speaking for myself, I mean, I'm very curious to see whether Trump is going to declare martial law right before the inauguration of Joe Biden. We're all waiting for that moment, but it seems not to happen. Yet he still has not come out and say that Joe Biden is the winner. So it seems that it's still not really decided, even though, of course, that it seems that Joe Biden is the winner. And I think here in Denmark, where I'm located, most people, they were really just waiting for the moment where Joe Biden could, or the moment when Joe Biden will be the president, because it's not a secret that a lot of people, at least in Scandinavia, they're very anti-Trump. And they have been that ever since he became the president in 2016. So here, there has been a kind of joy that now it's over and finally Trump has to leave the White House. But I don't really see that because that Joe Biden would move into the White House, that things are going to change a lot. I don't really think it is. I think we'll still have a lot of division. And I think this division is also actually a problem here in Europe. It is a problem for the whole Western world, that all countries are totally divided. And that's not good, because that is what's going to bring down the Western civilization. It is this division. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, I was very pro-Trump. You know, I went to the United States to cover the election for a TV station at that time. And I was very pro-Trump, but I'm really not sure that I'm pro-Trump anymore, Malcolm. It sounds strange, but
I think
that it's not that I have anything against him, but mm-hmm. I think the whole thing is just a show. And to be honest with you, the last couple of months, mm-hmm. I started to think, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, I mean, but to think that maybe Trump, after all, is part of a game where the goal is to bring down America as the leading nation in the world, to bring about a world communism, the Great Reset. That's what I think. So Trump, because actually what Trump did now, if you look back, he started his campaign with, you know, where he had the motto with draining the swamp. Yeah, there were so many people that were corrupted and he wanted to drain the swamp. So people bought that kind of narrative. But he did not drain the swamp. Actually, he divided America even more. He could not make Americans come together and unite. And now he's doing the same thing by saying that it's just a big fraud. There has been all this election fraud. And now everybody in America is very upset about this fraud and think that half of the other population is trying to deceive them. I mean, he's going to create even more division, and that's going to be the fall of the American civilization, I'm afraid.
Wow, you said a lot there, and I've never heard you go off like that. So that's an interesting opening, I'll tell you what. Yeah, that's interesting. And knowing you, you've always been a supporter of this. So, okay, so a couple of things here. What is it that people dislike from, you say, a lot of the Scandinavian countries and people around the globe? What is the dislike for Donald Trump? Let's stay on that a moment. Try to describe to me in summary version why he is disliked.
First of all, because he has presented himself as a kind of conservative person. At least that's what he was trying to present himself as. And I think for some reason, from the very start, there was this kind of very negative attitude towards him, which has just been growing and growing and growing. It seems that he has some kind of anti-leftist views. It also goes for immigration and, you know, the open borders and all these things, which we're very occupied with in Europe. So I think from the very start, many media were against him, as a lot of Americans were as well. So I think, but for me, Malcolm, I mean, I see more and more that politics is not politics anymore. We're all into some kind of, I would say, supernatural reality, which most people have not acknowledged. And it means that there are things that are very irrational that's going on. A lot of irrational things are going on. So you cannot just explain it by normal by normal reasons. If you make sort of logical, I mean, understanding of the world.
Yeah.
So I think there is an tremendous attack. Mm-hmm. That there is a tremendous evil attacking humanity globally these days. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a tremendous evil coming on humanity. And for some reason, Trump sort of played into that kind of thing, and he provoked some people.
Right.
But I still think it's quite irrational why there has been such a hatred against Trump. But nevertheless, I think that you cannot be the president of the United States if you're not part of the global elite. He would never have succeeded in winning the first time if he was not already part of it. He's just playing a certain role to deceive people. And I think we are living in the age of deception, manipulation, fake news, lies. So you don't know who you can trust. And a priest once said to me, for a lie to be very efficient and to be very convincing, it has to contain 99% truth. And I guess this is what it is all about with Trump.
Interesting.
In a way. It means that he presents himself as a kind of savior to the world. And what I don't like is that he has reached some kind of cult status, especially among Christians in the United States. So you have seen people saying that if Trump is not in the White House, everything is going to fall apart. So he was like he was a kind of messiah, some kind of savior. Mm-hmm. And that's not good. I mean, when a political figure have this kind of cultic status. Yeah. And I guess he got that for some reason. And that's also very irrational. So there are a lot of things here which we cannot explain from a normal rational perspective.
Well, listen, the whole MAGA movement, Make America Great Again, Trumpism, I mean, it has swallowed the Republican Party whole. There is no doubt. He is at the head of that. You either support Donald Trump in all of that glory, or with that group, you become the enemy immediately. In other words, there's no room to question anything, probably. In fact, there are people who will be listening. We have truth is a major, major amount of Trump supporters on our network. And I can tell you right now, a lot of them are aghast listening to you and your descriptions up front. There's no doubt about it. Now, to some who can be rational, will take some of this and use this information wisely. Others will get pissed off and probably shut it off and say, you know, you can all go to whatever. One of the big points you bring up a moment ago that I think I want to shine a light on for everybody to understand is this thing about why he didn't drain the swamp quick enough. One of the biggest complaints I've heard, even, is that he didn't drain the swamp in the way that he described it. He didn't do the things that he was supposed to do, that he could have done a lot more, but he talked a lot about it, but didn't execute on that level. And then, of course, we had all of the leaks and all of the damage control and the agencies and all of the people in his cabinets and all the people that seemed to be out to sabotage this administration. That's been one of the singular most important complaints I've received about this administration. That is kind of what you've said, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think why has Trump put on the role as a kind of world savior? Because you have never seen any kind of president, any other president in the history of the United States that has had this kind of cult status where he is perceived as a kind of savior.
Why is he a world savior? Now, when you say that, you're saying from a certain perspective out there, a lot of people may not agree or understand what you're saying. Why do you think that he is thinking that he's a world savior when he actually took a lot more money from NATO? He did a lot more separation with the United Nations. He put America first and not a lot of the allies and enemies. I mean, he went after the enemies, so do you see, why would you think that then?
Well, it's not Trump who's trying to, or it's not Trump himself that says that he is the savior, but it is his voters that has given him that status.
Okay.
And I think it is because that America, and this is the whole Western civilization, has lost any kind of connectedness with spirituality, and they're only putting all their hopes in political leaders. The same in Europe, in many ways. It means that because we lost the foundation of the Western civilization, which is, of course, Christianity, then a political leader turns into a kind of messiah. And I think this is a huge mistake, because politics is so dirty and it's so full of manipulation and tricks and you know, lies. So why on earth are people so occupied with that?
Mm-hmm.
It's just an, you know, just some kind of administrator. It's not somebody who can save the world. And because we lost the faith in the true savior, which is what the Western civilization is actually built on, the beliefs that Jesus Christ is the savior, because we rejected that and abandoned that faith, then a political figure like Trump or Joe Biden will become a savior. And that's actually quite Marxist. It's actually quite Marxist that everything is politics and everything has to be dealt with in a political way. So many of those conservatives that are so occupied with Trump, they're doing it in a Marxist way. That's why I think that we are, no matter if Trump is in the White House or if it's going to be Joe Biden, it won't save America, because America is on the brink because they lost the foundation. And I could say the same thing about Europe as well. And so we are actually in a spiritual battle, not a political struggle. Right.
Which you and I have talked about before. We've talked about that spiritual battle. And we didn't talk prior to this, so I had no idea what your collective thoughts were or what, that's the way I like to do these. As you would know, we didn't rehearse any of this, did we even? I had no idea what you were going to say.
No.
And that was important to me to get your reaction to what is really happening here. You know, I've received in the past, weeks, I'll say weeks, if not a little longer, but even more so the last couple of few weeks, a lot of very interesting telltale signs and statements, points of contention from people about which you would have never known about the things you said right there about that spiritual fight and what is exactly happening here in America and where Trump's position is and all of that and Joe Biden as well. Let me ask you a couple of pointed questions and I want to make a big point with you. Do you believe that this election is riddled with fraud here in America from what you see out there or what you've studied? You're a pretty good student of politics. What do you believe?
Yes, it might be. But if it is so, it's only to create more division. Then it is planned by both sides, I believe. I think this has been planned to make people very upset. To make way for the Great Reset, because everything is going, of course, when a nation like America is so divided, what do you think is going to happen?
Right.
There will eventually, eventually a civil war will break out. It means that when people are divided, they're easier to control.
Right, right.
And this is the whole point. Okay. And they're going to have a very bad economy.
Right.
So I think the reason why we see this fraud is actually only to divide Americans even
more.
Great point. And this is the spiritual deception.
All right. No, that's perfectly said. Now, what about COVID? I'm hearing a lot of people in my ears and reports about how that has completely been overplayed all around the world, certainly here back in America as well. And there are people, I've even had reports in the past weeks that it was so overplayed when 99.8% of anybody is going to be just fine. And these are not my words, but this is what's been in my ear in the past many days. And there are people even saying that COVID is just a flu that they have used as a propaganda tool. Do you buy into any of that or is that just rubbish?
No, absolutely. That's clear. That's clear. I mean, it's clear. I mean, if you look at the facts, it is like, you know, a bad flu. But we should be really, really happy that so few people are dying and so many people are surviving. And we're not. We are listening to all this fear-mongering every day in the media. And I think it has become a political tool to suppress people and to make the Great Reset, where we're going to break down all economical and political structures, and we're going to see a new sort of system, which I'm afraid it's not going to be very nice. And that's why I think the American election is playing into this, because I think it has been programmed that America as the leading nation of the world will fall apart. And then you'll probably see China becoming the leader of the world. And this is communism. Mm-hmm. And we have to be aware of that. So I think people should stop complying and they should start resisting and say, well, we don't want to change our world. We want to keep it the way we are, but we have to be united to do that.
Yeah.
And that's why they know by making all those divisions, you know, Trump saying all about draining the swamp and all these corrupt people and the fraud, it doesn't help the situation.
Yeah.
So we need leaders who can, make people come together. And right now we are isolated physically because we are not allowed to be together. So we are dividing and dividing and dividing and dividing. And what is and who is always behind division in the spiritual world?
Yeah, I know.
Satan.
Well, again, even this is clearly a fight of good and evil. It always has been. But right now it's on steroids. It's right out there in the center public square. And it seems like good and evil, it's making its move right now. There is something is being reset for sure. And I hope my listeners understand and use this information for value, that they don't, alienate. You know, I say that even because here's what happens. Most all Americans, and you probably find this around the world too, and certainly within the Trump conversations we're having and on the left as well, everybody here is living in echo chambers. They only want to hear what their opinion is. They don't want to hear the opposing opinion. So it's either hooray for me and the hell with you. And if they have a difference of opinion, they'll shut you off in a hot second and go elsewhere. That seems to be pretty paramount now. It's everywhere. That is just the trend I'm seeing. I'm sure you're seeing that as well out there, are you not?
Yeah, but I want to say to all these Trump supporters that are listening right now, please. I mean, it's not so much about Trump or Biden. It's about this spirit of division. Yeah. Because if we keep, being open or being influenced by this spirit of division and the spirit of delusion and oppression and all the lies, I think we are heading towards very, very troubled times.
Because we are.
We have to stand together.
Yeah. You say so much there. No, it's safe. And I've got to throw this other thought at you before we run out of time. And you say so much good there, that I think if people really step back and look at this, that it's not about, again, one person or whatever. It really is about a movement, and it's about the connectivity of people. I received something in this past week, let me share with you even, that plays right to what you're talking about. And it was a message from a listener that said, as Donald Trump comes to the end of his presidency, the anti-America deep state and the swamp is bigger and more powerful than ever. Meaning the establishment has won here, which is what you said early on. He didn't drain it fast enough. It was almost like, he didn't do clearly enough to make a dent in that way. Other people would argue and say, oh, he did a lot of good. Well, we can have that argument and discussion, surely. This is pretty strong now, so let me give you a caveat to what I'm going to say. This is pretty strong context here, this information is in. But it said this, I'm reading to you exactly what was given to me. So as Obama was God's judgment on America, we then told you that the installation of Donald Trump as president would be God's judgment on the world. We told you that under Trump, God would start something that we call the global shaken. And that's exactly what these last 4 years have been, a literal shaken of the entire world. That's why you see the Trump presidency coming to a close as the entire world is suffering through a pandemic with large sections of it on lockdown. Is that enough shaken for you? Well, don't worry. It'll get worse. Just wait until 2021 gets here. You're long for the days of 2020. Wow. That was an aha message I had received in. And so I ask you in my parting thought here, Eben, and we'll a lot more to talk about ahead, but what do you think 2021 holds for us? And what do you take out of that message I delivered just now?
Well, I think I would go to the prophets in the Old Testament and to remind people about what's going on there. Because what the prophets are telling the Jewish people at that time is whenever political disaster comes, whenever the plague hits, whenever there is, catastrophes in nature, it's because people have abandoned God. That is clear in all of the scriptures in Old Testament, where the prophets are talking to the people, say, well, you have to repent your sins. Otherwise, this catastrophe will go on and on and on. So I think this is a message to the world, and it's not a political message. And that's why people have to stop thinking about or be obsessed about Trump and Joe Biden, because they're not important. The important thing is that in our own hearts and minds, we have to think about our sins. And it is actually a sin to be in such a division with your neighbor and not being able to forgive him, not being a friendly neighbor. That is what is causing all the plagues in this world. Mm-hmm. And because we have abandoned what we were given. I mean, the Western culture has been so blessed in centuries because we accepted the Christian faith. Now, for the last 200-300 years, we totally rejected it and totally abandoned it. And you see that less and less people in America is a member of a Christian church. We have all the nuns, which are people who are not affiliated with any kind of church. And they're sort of, they're spiritual, but they have no denomination or no affiliation. So, and in Europe, it's even worse. So I think we have to look to the old, to the prophets in the Old Testament, who has this clear message that whenever you abandon God's ways, whenever you turn your back on God, political catastrophe, all the invasion, all the awful things are happening. Like, you know, in Egypt with the seven plagues, it's exactly the same, but we have shut our ears. We want to do it the Trump way or the Biden way. And as long as we're doing that, it will only get worse and worse and worse.
Wow. Well, there's the voice of Eben Trenholm. And I mean, she puts it out there. The thing you have to admire, my friends, is that, you know, she shares with you her truth and what she believes is really going on here. We have to open ourselves up more to be able to talk and share our thoughts and our ideas as a people. I think it's critical we get outside of our echo chambers. Far too many of you out there are living in echo chambers. You only want to hear what you want to hear. And to the rest of it, you immediately jump on and call hostile or theories, conspiracy type things, because you don't want to hear any level of truth. That is a cancer. It is an absolute cancer to everything we stand for here. Listen, I've got in the other part of the program here another very special guest coming on in a moment to talk about the things we're talking about here with Eben. Now, Eben has always been, as I've known her over the years, been a supporter. She's a conservative, a supporter of Trump and a supporter of the movement. Really excited about it, actually, for a good period of time there. So you just heard some authentic ideas and thoughts from her that I think requires a lot more follow-up and to dig deeper. And I think potentially there are some answers in her wisdom to at least get us to think and get people to step outside the boundaries. Now, again, listen, your opinions are your opinions, hers are hers, Eben's hers, mine are mine. That's a beautiful thing. Diversity of opinion is a terrific, I call it a beautiful American trait, or used, at least it always was one. Probably less today because we're so divisive. And again, it's either hooray for me and the hell with you. That seems to be the attitude people have out there. So listen, without question, I want you to follow what I'm going to tell you next here. There's definitely something going on in our country, and there is something going on around the world. There's no doubt about this. Now, a lot of the things that are happening right now in our country are pretty obvious, like the escalation of crime, the defunding of the police, the burning cities down, forcing small businesses to close down, tearing down America's monuments. And let's not forget what we were just talking about, corrupt politicians, right? What's not so obvious is who is financially supporting all this chaos. Where do they get their money from? Who are these anti-American sickos? Who are they? How do we make them stop doing what they're doing? Well, the message here is real simple, people. The enemy lives among us. It's the places we do business with. So many of the brands we're all doing business with, and most often, we're not even aware of it. They live on our phones. They get delivered to our doors. Could be that simple cup of coffee in the morning. Could be anything. But there are a lot of corporations out there that are selling us out, and we keep giving them our hard-earned money. And they keep throwing it back in our face. And it's pretty sadistic what's happening here. It's so wrong. We need to put a stop to it now. And so Shop to the Right is important, what I want to tell you about today. It's a brand new directory that was started to help patriotic consumers like yourself out there to find and support businesses that share and respect your values. Again, veteran-owned and operated. And so it's a whole new website. It's just come off the ground. So they've been working on this for months. And now with the election happening, they really are revved up here and want to make a difference, and they want to impact people. So the idea, again, is to connect people and businesses through this national database of companies. And there are two ways you can get involved. It's very simple. There's no funny business here. So really simple, straightforward. You can become part of the solution. And again, it doesn't matter if you're a local coffee stand or a local tire place in your community or shipping and you know, selling products around the world, around the country, it's irrelevant. The idea is to get your name in here. So you can go to shoptotheright.com. You list your company there. It's totally free. You can list your business there that, you know, support your way of life. So As a consumer, you can shop or you can list your business as part of the solution and show your support for capitalism and the America we know as the land of the free and the home of the brave. This is important. And you're going to hear a lot more about this ahead. This is just getting started here. I'm telling you right now, shoptotheright.com. That's how you do it. We'll be back with more Voice of a Nation just after the pause.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue, Service Sacrifice Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor. Old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
One of the major points we talked about up front with Eben is about the establishment, the deep state, and the weaponizing of these government agencies. I want to start there in this next chapter with you on the program, and I want to do it and bring on a friend of the show here and of our network, IQ Al Razuli, joins me. He's an Iraqi exile, Arabic speaker, scholar, author. So we call him this here at America Out Loud. Very distinct opinions, thoughts. Again, another student of the game. He knows what's going on. He understands the spiritual battle that's happening around the globe. Believer, conservative, understands what Donald Trump's contribution has been to the program. Again, I know you heard a different perspective up front, but now let's shift a little bit with me, if you will. And IQ, in a recent piece that you wrote, you talked about the weaponizing of the government agencies. And you said this: Barack Obama weaponized most of the services that were supposed to protect we the people. These entities became complicit in the corruption, aided and abetted by the fake media that became the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party, as truthful as Pravda was in the Soviet Union. That most Americans have no faith in the media proves the case. Now, Eben Tranholm up front in the program had talked about the fact that one of the biggest reasons and points that she brought up that she found fault with Donald Trump and the Trump administration is that he did not drain the swamp, that he did not go far enough and quick enough to pull that plug out. You know, IQ, that is one of the primary complaints I receive in a lot from big Trump believers. They just feel that he did not go far enough, quick enough, fast enough, and could have done a lot more to drain the swamp, which ended up really causing him a lot of grief. It created a lot of leaks into the media, created a lot of hardship, and eventually created the catastrophe we're dealing with now. What do you say to all of that, sir?
I agree. Unfortunately, I agree. Because honestly, he should have got away. He should have taken care of number one enemy of America, CAIR, C-A-I-R, the Council of American Islamic Relations. He should have declared them, and he would have been absolutely within his rights to declare them as enemies of the American people. Because CAIR is Sharia compliant. Linda Sarsour, the one who covers herself all the time, and she loves Sharia. Well, if she loves Sharia, how can she be loyal to American citizens? How can she be loyal to the American Constitution when Sharia is the nemesis of everything that the American Constitution stands for?
Yeah,
he was wrong.
But let's go further even. But let's mainstream a little bit more of this when we talk about the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Justice, the Homeland Security, all of these agencies and apparatus in the government. Why did he not disengage them more? Why did he not move quick enough and fast enough to drain the swamp and fire more of those people? Why?
I wish I could answer that question. I wish I could answer that question. I can't. I don't know. Maybe he didn't know that he could get away with it. I have no idea.
Well, do you think possibly because he knew that the establishment, let's remember something, IQ, that's important to remind me, remind you, and remind listeners. The swamp, the establishment, had him tied up as a pretzel for 4 years. The guy was like a Houdini. I mean, he was trying to play politics here and try to govern and try to do things for we the people, but yet he was totally tied up in a pretzel. And the establishment, that was part of their trickery in all of this, was to keep him occupied and keep his cabinet and his chief of staff and all of these agencies occupied. And it looks like they succeeded in that. Possibly was that part of their game plan? And do you think he just really couldn't get there fast enough, and maybe he was concerned that they would hit back even harder, that maybe this establishment is in full power more than we think they are?
Yeah, it's not a swamp. It's an ocean of deception. You don't have a swamp in America. The corruption is an ocean deep. Look, they actually put him in a pretzel. I agree with you. Look, it takes two to tango. He couldn't have done it all by himself. And many of the Republicans didn't support him. Many of the Republicans. And the people, the American people, didn't support. True, they went and visited him when he gave talks. These are not good enough. In an article I wrote before, previous to this one, I said Americans who have the right to bear arms should all go on a Saturday or a Sunday, all of them, millions of them, with their guns, to say, if the count is not done, he must not cede. He must not concede. Mm-hmm. Millions of them. Who would have stopped them? No power on earth could have stopped them. None. Not the military and not the police.
Well, let's be clear. There are plans right now for what you described there on the 6th of January. You know that.
Well, I heard about it. I don't believe a word.
Well, there is an organization and there are plans. Believe me, it is happening. And there's a lot of movement right now. And the president has called for them to do that and said we need to have wild rallies. And the media, of course, took offense to that, saying that he was calling for, rioting and that sort of thing. The things that they've called for, really, and that they've done in our cities, they're blaming on the president now, you know.
I want an insurrection. I'm not talking about just for the sake of insurrection.
Yeah.
This is the survival of the Constitution of the United States of America. They have abused it. They have twisted it. They have corrupted it. It's got to be taken back. And the only people who can do that is we the people.
We the people. And you know,
nobody else can do that.
IQ, your point is so well taken. And I want to say to you, the visual I have in my mind as a patriot and as a fighter of good every hour of every day is this. The visual I see is people coming together in Washington. We can call it whatever you want under the guise of peaceful protest, if you wish to call it that, initially, until the fired shot, the Concord and Lexington moment, if you will. And that will probably happen and will be in the Civil War. But there is, many people would argue, what is the alternative? But the visual I see is these people ascending on Washington, not just as you suggest with guns, but you know, the other visual I see is pitchforks and guns. And the pitchfork is an icon of America that says, we the people stake our claim and we will not have this anymore. Is that the moment we're thinking of?
I love it. I love it. The whole point of the Second Amendment is to defend the American people from a government which is corrupt. This is the whole point of it. This is what the forefathers put it there for. What did they do the first time? They went against the king. Why did they go against the king? Because he was corrupt. King George was corrupt, so they had to remove him. And they did. Can you imagine a small detachment of men in America defeated the greatest military power in human history? Do you know that?
Yeah.
How many Americans know that?
Well, I think they know it, but they don't feel the same strength today. And it's a different paradox we're in here that's totally changed things, that I think they've lost sight of that the strength of what we are talking about right now.
It's the young ones who have lost sight.
They have.
They have been indoctrinated for 60 years by the most leftist, corrupt professors and scholars and teachers and academics in the history of the United States of America. By the way, the same thing has happened in Europe.
Yeah.
Islam is taking over Europe, not because Islam is clever, not because Muslims are clever, not because Islam is superior to Christianity or anybody else. No. It's taking over because of the stupidity of our leaders and their corruption. 100% corruption. I'm not exaggerating. How is it conceivable that there are more churches which are closed and they open the next day as mosques? There are more mosques now opening than Christians, than churches. And the churches are closing down.
Let me ask you about this whole COVID thing that's happening. In your opinion, is this COVID thing part of what they're calling the global reset, in your opinion?
Well, it's not an opinion. As far as I'm concerned, China created it and willfully distributed it. And she is a genius for having done it. Look, they have destroyed the economies of the whole of the world, especially America.
Yeah.
China, within the next if Biden takes over, within 4 years, China will be the prime power on earth. Within 4 years.
Yeah.
If Biden and Harris stay. Within 4 years, not 20 years, not 10 years, 4 years.
Okay.
China will be the supreme power on earth, militarily and economically.
In an article that you wrote just recently, the danger to America is not Joe Biden, but the citizenry. There's something interesting in here you say, I want to read to folks here. And it was something you picked up that was translated into English from a Prague newspaper in the Czech Republic here that you pointed out that you thought captured the moment sort of perfectly as to how the United States is digging its own grave. And let me read this. I want all listeners to hear this in this article that IQ posted and that we published on America Out Loud. And it goes like this. The danger to America is not Joseph Biden, but a citizenry capable of entrusting a man like him with the presidency.
it will be far easier to limit and undo the follies of a Biden presidency than to restore the necessary common sense and good judgment to a depraved electorate willing to have such a man for their president. The problem is much deeper and far more serious than Mr. Biden, who is a mere symptom of what ails America. Blaming the Prince of Fools should not blind anyone to the vast confederacy of fools that make him their prince. The Republic can survive a Biden, who is, after all, merely a fool. It is less likely to survive a multitude of fools, such as those who made him their president. That piece spoke to you clearly. You wanted to share it with the world, IQ. It did capture sort of the moment right now, but there are people that have been blindfolded with what's taken place here in America, and we don't really know how many people fit into that category of who really did put Biden as their presidency, when the level of fraud that's being discussed and talked about and the evidence that has come forth here in our country, I would suggest to you it could very well be that a lot of people did not make Joseph Biden the Prince of Fools, that maybe he is the establishment's Prince of Fools that they're using to put in there. What do you say to that?
I don't give excuses. I hate excuses, with all due respect. He got 7 million more people than Trump. Now listen to this. In 2016, Trump had 63 million votes. In November, he had 73 million votes, increase of 10 million. And yet, Biden was elected. If there is fraud and he gets in, it shows that America is no different from, let's say, Colombia or Mexico or Afghanistan.
Well, that's one of the talking points we're talking about right now, that our politics and our elections have become third world status. No, that's exactly what we're talking about, IQ, right now. So, yes, we agree with you. Yeah. I mean, that's what it would be equivalent to. But are you saying, do you believe the fraud is run as rampant here as is being suggested as this evidence is coming out? Or are you thinking this was a fair election?
How is it possible for him to win 7 million people more than Trump? How? Who is insane? Who is insane to elect a man in 78? Or it's nothing to do with his age. Look how he fumbles everything. He doesn't remember what he was talking about. He doesn't remember the people he's talking to. The number of people who visited him at any one time that he went on the rampage were 10 to 12 people. Trump had 20, 30,000 people at a time.
So there's my point then. Now, hold on now. You're getting ahead of, I think, the thinking here, because what you just said proves the level of fraud that would prove that this evidence and that would make this a very fraudulent election, which you're right, would make this a third world status. But there's a great many levels of fraud that are being investigated right now. I mean, it's electronic, it's digital cyber warfare. It's basically people that are dead voting. It's double, triple, many people voting multiple times. It is stolen votes and ballots being delivered in the middle of the night. There are so many insurance policies that seem to have been taken out here from the established players who were trying to call this election. So that would mean then that the citizenry did not vote Joe Biden president, if that's the case. I want to just call you on that. Do you realize that's a distinct possibility?
It's fraudulent. Even the Supreme Court is wrong. The Supreme Court was created to protect the Constitution. They didn't do it this time. They are not defending the Constitution. They are literally allowing the fraud to go through. Am I wrong?
To a point, that is correct. But yet a lot of these things, just to be clear with you, that have made it their way to the Supreme Court were denied based on procedural points. In fact, about all the cases that have got into the courts here, both local courts and statewide, you know, federal courts and the Supreme Court have all been lost or defeated on procedural points, not the evidence. In fact, the evidence really hasn't made it into the courts yet. And that's part and parcel of the problem we're experiencing right now, IQ. Now, there's a lot of talk right now about the Supreme Court being corrupt for a lot of reasons. And that case, by the way, that was brought forward from Ken Paxton, the attorney general out of Texas,
I think, had a lot of validity to it, because we are the United States. And if one state, if it's not good for one state or 10 states or 20 states, it shouldn't be good for any of the states. We all should have, you know, a stake in the game if we're going to be the United States of America. But how can that be, IQ, when we have 50 different election systems? We have 50 different states and everybody's got a different set of rules. There's nothing united about the way we vote here. You know that.
Correct. But they have to be according to the Constitution. And the Constitution, if I got it right, it says at 12 o'clock, you can't, midnight, after midnight, you don't count anymore.
Well, but the courts ruled against that. The courts ruled against that. But understand something now. All the local courts in a lot of these states, they used COVID as sort of a smoke and mirrors game is what they did, IQ, and they changed all the rules of engagement by the courts. Yep.
Now that's illegal.
No, they did it.
These are the lower courts. By the way, this is nothing to do with the Constitution. They broke the Constitution. This is why I'm upset with the Supreme Court, because they are supposed to protect the Constitution.
Right.
And you talk to me about procedure. You know,
right.
It's like somebody murdered somebody. The gun is in his hand.
Right.
The smoke is coming out. You don't put him in prison because he didn't give him his Miranda rights.
But what you say actually happens every hour of every day. Absolutely. But you're right, though. A lot of innocent people have gotten hung from the premise you just threw out there, because procedurally the evidence wasn't submissible or something went wrong. No, it's a perfect case. It's a perfect point to remind everybody that, you know, sometimes you've got to look at the bigger fight in this fight of good and evil, and we've got to really break it down. Let's talk about where we are right now. There's a lot yet to happen, and we're seeing a lot of things that could play out now between now and January 20th that could have a significant factor, you know, including Senator Josh Hawley coming out and saying that he is going to object to Biden winning. He was the latest, and this is going to create, and there's a lot of them now, senators and congressmen, which is going to put a battle when the joint sessions of Congress come together on the 6th of January, is going to create quite a battle. Don't forget the elections in Atlanta are on the 5th. This is on the 6th and on the 20th. So I don't think this is over by a long stretch, IQ.
But I put it again, if and when the American people go out with their pitchforks, the Constitution will be protected. I'm not interested in the politicians. Most of them are corrupt. Most of them are corrupt. I mean, it's undeniable. They are corrupt. So it is up to we, the people, to take over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know what? The army will be with them.
Well, that's a great point you bring out there. And that's something we should all think about.
The American people, the army is made of the American people.
Yeah.
The army is to defend the Constitution and the United States of America from within and from without treason. This is, you have treason from within.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to incite anybody, not at all. But I'll tell you what, my blood is boiling. And my blood is boiling at the disgusting behavior of the Democrats, of the news media.
Yeah.
I'll give you a simple example. In 4 years, Melania Trump was never put on any front page of any magazine in four years. How is that possible?
My friend, we see it every day here and we live it. And you're exactly right. You're exactly right with what you say. And until we, the people, are empowered and take it back, we're going to continue to have these problems. I mean, we're going to continue to unravel, and it is the test of time right now. That's why I say to you up front about, you know, I was telling you earlier, and I want to end on that note, shoptotheright.com, why it's important we begin to embrace these movements in our country, people that are looking out for our own benefits and working and doing business with the people that have our own interest at heart. You take a look at a lot of these big conglomerates who are we're spending money with, who are then supporting Black Lives Matter and Antifa and all of these evil groups out there, or creating the unrest in our cities, or doing harm to our families and our lives and our livelihoods and our jobs and businesses. And that tells you, people, what we're up against right now. But the power, as IQ points out, has to be we the people. It really is coming down. I can see it more and more. It is a test of time. It's a spiritual war, no doubt. But it's going to come back to, I call it a pitchfork moment. It's going to be the pitchfork and gun. It's that moment of America to stand. We the people, it's going to have to be to fight the fight of good and the fight against all this evil. When we talk about this fight, and again, the draining of the establishment up there, you know, the corners of evil that have been built into our Constitution, have been built into our Republic, have been built in now for 245 years since our founders put together this great experiment, the American experiment, which has now been the world superpower and has delivered for the world and our country an unprecedented level of growth and safety and security. America has saved the world more than once and has sacrificed blood and treasure. And yet here we find ourselves at this crossroads and moment of time. And it is a time that should leave us all to pause. It does me. I need it to do the same to you. We need to be questioning things ahead. We need to get outside of our echo chambers, people. And we need to start questioning and make ourselves uncomfortable. Start questioning all the things that need to be questioned, even if we don't like the way they sound or the fact that they might offend somebody. Not so much that we're part of a political group or that we support a political person. No, but that we support the fight of good and evil, and that this battle that has happened and this worldwide phenomenon right now, that we stand for the fight of good. And that has to be what it comes back to. If we're going to survive this as a collective, as a people, it has to be right there. We got to take the power back. That's going to be my message here moving forward. It just is. It has to be. We will circle back with IQL Razuli and Eben Tranholm again, because there's a lot of unfinished business here that we need to continue to talk about. In the meantime, thank you for being part of the mission here. It's time to get involved and get loud.